Praise the Lord. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. We're going to look at a little bit there. Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah, I was coming over this morning, and you preachers know your poor family. They catch it. I was preaching to my daughter, or I just got to talking and then got to preaching. She reached over and started patting me on the shoulder and said, "Daddy, Daddy, save it for the pulpit." So, to all you preachers' families out there, God bless you. Thank you for putting up with us. Amen. I'm going to do something a little different this morning. You say, well, praise the Lord. You always do. I'm going to sing a little song for you a cappella. As Brent said, we took him over to Tennessee to one of our mission trips. He said, I'm going to sing a song for you. He says, I think it's called a cappella. He said, I ain't real sure if that's what it means or not, but when you sing without music, that's what they say they're doing, so that's what I'm going to do, sing a cappella. So, you know how he is. I like it that way, don't you? But I'm going to sing a song that's been on my heart all week, and I'm not much of a singer, but listen to the words. It's an old, old song. And I'm kind of backwards. I like the old, old song. The kind that line up with Scripture, if you know what I'm talking about. We got a lot that don't anymore. It sounds good, and it makes for good preaching, but there ain't no Bible behind it. So I like good old songs. But this one, I know you know it, and you can hum along with me if you want to, but I'm going to give this one a shot. It's called How Firm a Foundation. I know you know it. I love this old song. It's one of my favorite songs. So, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, ye who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? In every condition, in sickness and health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, I am thy God, I like that right there, and will still give thee aid, I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, I even like that right there, amen. Upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand, e'en down to old age, all my people shall prove my constant, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still on my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. I just like to, that's just one of those good old songs. I just love it. I appreciate the Lord. I'm going to preach just a little bit here. You know, I had a little outline here. I think Brent stole it. I sure enough did. And I sure enough ain't now. So I guess we're just going to go ahead anyhow. It's a good thing I read my Bible every now and then, or I'd be in trouble right now, wouldn't it? Say oh me to that one right there. Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to look just a little bit there, just a couple of thoughts. And the thought is this, because listen, I'm in a lot of places, I go into a lot of churches and talk to a lot of people, pastored a couple of churches. So since I've pastored a couple of churches, I've also gained a little knowledge. And I've always been one to question religion. That's just in me. I can't help it. It's just, I question motives. That's just my mind. I think about motives. Why do they do this? Or why do they act this way? And like I say, religion don't have its hold on me, so it don't bother me anymore. I call it the way I see it, and that's usually the way it is. Most people are just afraid to say anything, say amen to that. But it's just you know, and it really bothers me to see the bondage that God's people are in, if they're God's people. I see a lot of churchianity. I see a lot of religion. I see a lot of legalism. I see a lot of things, and I see so many of church folk. They've got their list of do's and don'ts, and they're living in a cage. This thought kind of come to me the other day. There's where I work, the folks that own the business, they got a little black dog named Kenya. That's a proper name for a black dog, isn't it? And good little old dog, but at home, this is just the way she is. Ever since she was a pup, they always put her in her cage at night and close the door every night. And it's got to a point now that she's done that so long that she's not comfortable unless she's caged up. You think about that for a minute. Now, of course, the dog's habitual, but us good Baptists were just as habitual as that little old dog is. And honestly, you think about it. We're happiest in our little comfort zone. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, we're happiest around our little clique. Whether it be right or whether it be wrong, we're comforted there. Just like this dog, she will go to her cage when it gets dark and goes in there, and she's always waiting on somebody. She'll go back in and come back in till somebody will come and close the door and lock her in there, and then she's happy because she's happy caged up. And I got to thinking about it. That's about like some of us good Baptists. Amen. We're happiest when we're in a cage. Right or wrong, we're happy there. We find comfort, and God forbid we'd ever get out of our comfort zone. We might witness for the Lord then, or actually enjoy this Christian life. I enjoy my Christian life. I don't worry about what everybody says. It ain't none of their business what I do to begin with. I'm here to please the Lord. I live my life to please the Lord, and most of the time it don't please a lot of folk, but that's all right with me too, because it don't matter to me. When I lay my head down at night and say my prayers of the evening and the morning and during the day, when I'm pleasing the Lord, that's when I'm happy. Amen. Not there's not anything wrong with being accountable to people. I'm not saying that. But you know what I'm talking about. Because all you hear seems like anymore is just do's and don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. You got to do this to get God's favor. You got to do this, you got to do that. And I got to wondering, what has happened to the sovereignty of God working in our lives? Where's it at? I mean, my goodness, Ephesians is packed full of the sovereignty of God, and we seem like we're going through our Christian lives scared to death in a cage saying, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that to make God happy. Bless God, where's God at in your life? He knows you better than you know yourself. Listen, He knows you. He really does. And it's so bothersome to me and concerning to me to see folk just not living a happy life. Now, I'm not against standards. Don't get me wrong. Don't say that preacher's not talking about it. Listen, I'm not against standards. We all should have some standards. But it gets pretty bad, and I know some folks that seen the preacher over in Walmart, and they had a pair of shorts on, and they seen the preacher, and they run so the preacher wouldn't see them wearing a pair of shorts. I started to wear a pair of shorts and a floppy t-shirt today, but I know Darren would really get mad at me if I was in the pulpit with him. But I'd be John Brown if I'm going to run in my shorts that I wear at work, because it's, bless God, when it's 95 degrees, I'm going to have a pair of shorts on and a floppy shirt. It's hot. And you know what I'm saying? I don't live in that bubble. I'm not living in that cage. Honestly, I'm not going to do it. And so many folks are just, I got to do this, I got to do that. Oh, I've got to do this to please God so He'll show me favor. That's all we hear. What about happened to a sovereign God blessing His people? Whatever happened to a sovereign God raining revival on His people because He cares, because He's sovereign and He wants to stir their lives up irregardless of what they do? I heard a statement from old Joe Arthur one time. I've mentioned this before. before. It really changed my way of thinking a lot. And he said, you know, and I've said this before, I may have even told y'all, he said he's in a meeting with old Billy Kelly, Big Billy Kelly. A lot of folks know Big Billy Kelly. He's dead and gone now. Great man, boy, I just loved him to death. Him and my grandpa was big bear hunting buddies and all this stuff. And Joe said he went to a meeting with, the first time he'd heard of Billy Kelly, never been to a meeting with him. I'll get to the scriptures here in just a minute. Hang on, this is just a little introduction. Amen. Darren said to limit it to 30 minutes, so we'll start limiting in just a minute. I ain't preaching yet. He said preaching for 30 minutes, so I'm just leading up to it. So he got limited to 30 minutes. I did. Oh, bless you, brother. But this is what he said. He said, I went to that meeting. He said, oh, I fasted and I prayed and I clawed at the carpet and prayed. And, oh, God, meet with us, God this and God that. And he said, I'm telling you what, I was just, for days I was praying and fasting. And he said, I got to that motel and he said, I got a call from Billy Kelly. And Billy said, come down here, boy. Come down here. He said, I didn't know what he wanted. He said, I went down there and he said, oh, Billy's so big he couldn't get his suspenders hooked to the back of his pants, and he just wanted him to come down and help him get his suspenders on. And he said he'd been laying around eating fruit, and he said he got old Billy loaded up in the car and they took off, and Billy didn't even have his Bible, went to the tent meeting. He got to thinking, oh, going over, good God, what's the matter? This old man, he ain't prayed. He ain't, bless God, he didn't even bring his Bible. He said, when we got to the camp meeting, he said, old Billy got up there and hit about four chords on that piano, said the Holy Ghost of God come in that place and absolutely overshadowed Big Billy, hollering and squalling, the altar's full, ain't nobody said a word. God moved into that place and he said, I got to that altar, said, God, what's wrong with this? He said, what's going on? I've prayed, I've fasted, I've read my Bible, I've done this, trying to gain your favor, trying to get you to move, all these things. Why did you do that? When old Big Billy hit about three keys and the Holy Ghost started moving and God moved in, and he said, the Holy Ghost whispered to him and said, because he's mine. And I'm telling you, church, this is where we need to be heading. We need to get in our minds, yes, we got to have some standards. Yes, we got to do some things, but we don't need to be bragging about our prayer life and our Bible reading. We need to be realizing that we're God's young'uns, and he's going to bless us because he is the blesser. Dan said the other day, we need not look so much at the blessings as the blesser. We need to realize who we serve, and we serve a sovereign God who called us before the foundation of the world. Think about that. And we need to realize this. Listen, glory to God. I'm his. It don't matter what I do, it's not going to change my relationship with God the Father, because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I can mess up. Yeah, I can do some things wrong. I understand that. I realize I got to read. I realize I got to do these things. But my mindset ought not be I got to read my Bible to try to please God. I ought to be reading my Bible because I love him. And more than that, it's because he loves me. It's our mindset and our drive within us. It's where we're at. We're so happy in the cage and comfort zone in our little cliques, when we ought to be happiest when we're loving the Lord Jesus and loving his word and wanting God to stir and move in our lives irregardless of what's taking on in the church world. That might preach here in just a minute. Amen? Hallelujah. But Ephesians, I got just a few things here. If we can find my outline, no. Ephesians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now look at this. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You let that rest just a minute. And we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I realize we have responsibilities. I realize we need to do right, act like, and be right. I understand these things. But our drive and our push to to do that ought not be to please the click. Come on now, say a little more amens than that. You know it, and I know it. It's just we have a problem admitting that we find ourselves that way. Oh, what will they say? I say, oh, I don't care. Amen? Really? I serve a sovereign God. He works in my life. There's some things take place I don't particularly like, but I know He's moving in my life. I know He's doing some things I don't understand, but it ain't nobody else's business either. Somebody say amen to that one. But we plain to see right there, He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You can doctorize that. You can do all you want to that. I can read and I know what it says, and it tickles me to death, and it helps me in this life's journey, amen. When things are going wrong in my life and I do not understand what's going on, I don't understand the complications of this old world, I rest real well knowing that I was chosen in Him before the foundation of this world. How He worked it out, I don't understand. Nobody really does. But I know one thing for sure, I'm one of His. And really and truly, that's all that really matters. Whew. That's big boy sweat when we preach like that. You know what? Amen. But just to think about that, the first thing we can look there is the plan of God. It was His plan, not mine. Now listen, I know there's a wonderful song out there that we sing every now and then that says, I can't wait till I get to heaven because I'm going to tell Him how I made Him my choice. Now, no offense, but it tickles me when I hear that. Because there ain't a bit of Bible behind that. You think you're going to go to the heaven and tell Him how you made Him your choice? I mean, think about it. I mean, I got some free will Baptist brothers out there, and they probably wrote that song because that's probably what they think they're going to do. And I'm not fussing against them by no means, but listen. Listen, I'm saved by the good grace of God, not on my works. And I'm telling you, when I hit heaven, my hands are going to be raised to a sovereign God that called me before the foundation of this world. And that excites me. That stirs me. When things are going wrong in my life and I do not understand, I can rest firmly in that foundation that God is God and nothing's going to change the fact that I'm one of His. Whoop! Amen. It's not going to change it. The plan of God. We can see it plainly in the Scriptures. It's wonderful to know that God is God and nothing's going to change. And nothing's going to change my salvation unless God doesn't exist. And I'm telling you, friend, He exists. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And I need water on top of that right there. Now, us big boys do sweat when we preach like that. And when we get winded like I am, we need water. So just bear with me. I blame it on my allergies. How's that? According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, have He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to when I get to go up to heaven and tell Him why I made Him my choice. No, to the good pleasure of His will. You rest on that one just a minute. I know we've got things to do. I understand we have standards. I know that. I understand that. Let me tell you about a family I know. Not mentioning no names, but you know they voted in alcohol over here in Burnham. Ingles started selling a little beer. It's a good family. They quit going to Ingles because they started selling beer. So they drive all the way to Weaverville to Walmart to buy their groceries. Last time I was in there, they sold more beer at Walmart than they did Ingles. So I got to questioning the motives. And best I can figure is in their front of their church crowd, in front of their little clique, they can say, I don't buy groceries at Ingles anymore because they sell beer, but they go somewhere else and buy it. To me, sounds pretty foolish. Now, maybe to their clique, it sounds like, boy, they're spiritual. But to me, there's a lie right there in the middle of all that somewhere. You got to watch these little cliques. You get caught up in them, you're thinking you're doing the will of God. Amen? You find yourself more concerned about what the clique thinks than what the man of God is doing in the pulpit. Next thing you know, you're finding yourself going against the Lord, thinking you're doing God a favor. Be very, very careful. There's a judgment day coming. There really is, so you got to be very, very careful with these cliques. See, you need to be like me and not worry about the religious crowd anymore. Then you can be happy in your salvation. Say amen. Amen. But you see right here, all these things is to the good pleasure of His will. You think about that just for a minute. The plan of God we see, it's about His will, not ours. It's a blessing to be saved. But I'm telling you, He's the one that called us. My mama certainly didn't call me. My daddy certainly didn't call me. My wife didn't call me. It was God the Father that called me when He sent the Holy Ghost of God in my life to convict me and reveal His Son unto me, because I couldn't see Him before. All I seen was a bottle. All I seen was a big joint somewhere, and I'm not going to all the rest of that stuff. That's all I seen. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost of God starts turning your life, and then He reveals Jesus unto you through the Scriptures, through the man of God, you see your dirtiness and filthiness of sin. The Holy Ghost is showing you from a holy God, and you make a change in your life. I'm telling you, it excites me to know that God worked in my life. I'm not basing my salvation and a joy in my walk with the Lord on, I got to do this. I got to do this to please the clique. Oh, what will they think? I'm not living in that bondage no more. You should not either. You need to be delivered from that. Enjoy your salvation a little bit. Amen. Then you could shout and do something for the Lord outside of the church. See, I need more amens than that. Amen. That's the key to serving the Lord in your whole life instead of just sitting on a church pew saying amen. Amen, really? I mean, so many folks are locked up and think the only way they can serve the Lord is from behind a pulpit or sitting on a church pew or behind a songbook. They figure, well, I've served the Lord 3 times this week. That's all I need to do. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord all week long and never tell anybody about Jesus all week long. You know why? Because they're in that church clique. Lord, I'm losing amens, brother. You lost them a little bit this morning, too. You're going to have to get songbooks and start throwing. But honestly, your joy as being a child of God is not going to be on what you can do. Honestly. Like I say, I know we got standards, but to know that a God as big as God is called your name one day. And the God that called your name sent His Spirit your way. Didn't He? I got Bible to go behind all of this. I didn't have to call the clique to see if it's all right either. Amen? There's where your joy's at. And that's why we go out and hand out tracts. That's why we go to the food pantries and do what we do, is because it ain't because what the clique says, because I don't belong to one. It's we go to help to get the gospel out because we know it pleases God the Father, and that's what matters. So I urge you to get out of these things. Be delivered out of this cage that you're in and your comfort zone. We're all in that little bit somewhere now. Come on. Hallelujah, don't you love it? You can be delivered from that. If you'll ever get to a point where you don't care what the crowd says and you care what the Lord says, then you're going to be happy. Now, I have to admit, you may not get near as many invitations. You may not. Very true. But that's okay too. You see, there's more than a pulpit to preach in. Amen. There's a world out there that needs Jesus. There's street corners. Amen. There's food pantries. Listen, there's a world of homeless people out there that need somebody to go by and hand them a tract and tell them that God can restore their lives. Amen? There really is. So listen, there's more preaching to do than behind the pulpit. Praise the Lord. All right. Now look, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now we could get and preach a week on adoption, but we won't go there. We don't have near enough time. But the main thing is to the good pleasure of his will. And look at this, to the praise of the glory of God. This is how God is glorified. You think about it. Now I like to get people to thinking about something besides kind of where they're at sometimes. Because we get wrapped up, we're like Catholics. We say we're Baptists, but we're like Catholics. Because we got our little form to go by. This is how we do, this is how we dress, this is what we wear, this is what we say, this is how we preach, this is how we teach, this is how we read, this is how we walk, this is how we talk, this is the crowd we hang around with. This is what we do. We got to, listen. Don't shake your head at me. It's all right. It really is. But God is honored and glorified when he can take an old rotten, no account, hell-bound, beer-drinking, white liquor hauling, marijuana-growing, hellcat, and call him and save him and bring him to heaven on the good works of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and not on my good works or my efforts. God the Father is glorified all eternity because he's the one that brought me home. Not me trying to do this or trying to do that, but it's because of his sovereign love in my life and his call upon my life and the salvation that he wrought, not that I ordered up. Amen. Hallelujah. That'll work for me. That's where you, honestly, that's where your joy is at. I remember back when I was sick, it's been 10, 12 years ago, and I had a heart attack. I laid up. Man, couldn't pray. I couldn't do nothing. Sick, depressed, scared, slapped to death. Scared. Well, you're a preacher. Scared preacher. I didn't pray. Yeah, you're a preacher. I was a preacher that wasn't praying right then. I was down low. I had a family. I provided for them. Couldn't work. Everything was on the table. I'm telling you what, it was awful. I didn't want the lights on. I wanted to stay in the dark. It's hard. Hard time. But let me tell you what kept coming to me. I've told this before. I kept hearing in my soul, I wasn't reading my Bible. Yeah, you're a preacher. I was a preacher that wasn't reading his Bible then either. Amen. You can be there. I can say that because, see, I'm not in the clique and it don't matter. Honestly, y'all don't realize how much a clique drives things. You really don't. You really don't. See, I'm kind of out of it, so I can see in it. You just can't see in it because you're in it sometimes. All right? But I never, for weeks, all I heard, that's good English there, isn't it? You see, I still have a little redneck in me. All I could hear in my soul, in my spirit, is Satan's trying to have you and sift you as wheat. But I'm praying for you. Who you think that was? Huh? Who you think that was? I'm not talking just once. It was daily. Many times daily. When I was laying there worrying about not being able to provide for my family, not making house payments or nothing else, and God's people, thank God there's a few of God's people that come by and help me out. Thank God for God's people that'll help out somebody. Amen. But I'm telling you, those many, many days and nights that I laid there in that chair, not knowing if I was going to live or die or what was going to take place in my future, that scripture kept coming to me, and I wasn't reading my Bible, friend. You know exactly who that was. When he says, I'm praying for you, I say, hallelujah. The church can pray till they're blue in the face, and I love it, and I thank God, but I'm telling you, when the glorious Son of God whispers into your ear, I'm praying for you, man, you know it's going to be all right. That helped me to know that he's doing that. I wasn't laying there doing something to try to get him to do that in my life. I was not praying like I should have been, like some people say I should have been, or saying you should have been doing this, or you should have been doing that. I wasn't doing none of those things. But I'm telling you, it was because of His good pleasure He whispered in my ear to encourage me. I wasn't doing a blessed thing but laying in that chair worrying. Oh, you shouldn't worry, preacher. You shouldn't be worrying. God won't bless you. Well, He was praying for me, and I was worrying. Bless God, I couldn't hardly stand it. Well, you're depressed. You can't be depressed. You can't be depressed and expect the Lord to bless you. Bless God, He was blessing me. Amen. He was praying for me. Oh, preacher, yeah, but you should have been reading your Bible. The only way the Lord will bless you is if you do that. God ain't going to bless you. Bless God, He was blessing me. I couldn't do it, and He was praying for me. You say what you want to. Does not matter to me, but I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm His. I'm not telling you not to read your Bible, but you ought to read it because you love it. And you ought to read it because you're His. You know, that might preach in a minute. Hallelujah. To the Lamb, we like it. Thank God. That's just good stuff. It's just hard to preach on this stuff, ain't it? I mean, it's Ephesians just so. When I die, Jennifer, if there's room on my tombstone, you don't have to put a heart on there or "We love Daddy" or nothing like that. You just get somebody engraved Ephesians chapter 1 down through there. Glory to God. And put that on the bottom, "He's blessed." Amen, because I'm His. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, that's how He's glorified, because He done it. It's His grace. But we reap the benefits. It says plainly here in verse, if I can see it, my eyes got a little watery here. "In whom we have redemption through His blood for the forgiveness of sins." Now look at this. "According to my efforts, I got responsibilities. I'm not denying that whatsoever, but the Bible's pretty plain here. According to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will." He made known unto me, an old drunk, beer drinking, white liquor hauling. We got a DEA guy over here. Marijuana growing. Look, brother, it's been a long time. Grace took care of it. Just so you know, even when I was doing it, it bothered me. I was scared you would find me. But anyway, I was lost. What do you expect a lost man to do? Don't look at me down in that religious outfit. I'm telling you what, glory to God. Anyway, amen. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will." He made known to me when I was lost and undone, hell-bound. He made known unto me the mystery of His will, according what? To His good pleasure. I wasn't asking for it. He convicted me. I wasn't looking for Him. I was running from Him. The only reason I went to church that night was to get my wife off my back. I was tired of listening at her. Really, I'm truthful about it. But I'm telling you, God had other plans. Ha! Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for me. Hallelujah to that God. That's the one we should be giving glory to, because He's the one that came into my life. I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't trying to do this. I wasn't trying to turn over a new leaf. He revealed His Son unto me. Thank God for that. Amen. But He did it. I wasn't looking for Him. Thank God. Hallelujah right there. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will," look, "according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." God purposed in Himself to reveal His Son and reveal His mystery unto me and unto you that are saved here. Think about that just for a minute. That ought to rest well with your soul right there when you realize it wasn't you, it was Him. Thank God for that. Listen, I'm not dismissing our responsibilities. You know, I'm not dismissing those whatsoever. But I think, and I'm pretty confident, so many of us, of God's people, have so got to a point where I got to do this, I got to do that, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. Listen to me. The only time I hear about the sovereignty of God is if either somebody's sick or if somebody died. Think about that. Well, God knows everything that's going on. That's the only time you'll talk about the sovereignty of God. It's when you run out of everything else, bless God. You ought to run out of everything else during your life and realize that God's working and moving in your life. There's joy in that. There really is. There's exceeding joy. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you or condoning to go out and sin. Don't run with that. If you want to run that with that, you probably will. You and your clique anyway, but that's all right too. That don't bother me either. You know exactly what I'm saying if you want it. It's there. There's joy and there's freedom to have in our life if we'd realize where the blessing's coming from and Him working in our lives. That's where the blessings are at. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in all in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, if we could remember that one and say it every day, amen. Talking about joy, it's about God's pleasure. What's pleasing Him? What's glorifying God the Father? That's what's pleasing. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Thank God for a guarantee. It goes on to talk about the guarantee. That's our guarantee. The next couple of verses talks about the guarantee. Our salvation, it's guaranteed. Our hope is guaranteed because He's the Holy Ghost is in us. Now listen, I don't feel like the Holy Ghost is in me most of the time. Especially when I get up in the morning and have to hobble around because your feet hurt, feet be hurting. You know, your shoulders is aching, your head's throbbing, you half awake, sleeps in your eyes, you know, and you kind of feel your way and get, honey, you got the coffee made yet, please, baby? No, make it yourself. Okay. I didn't get an amen there. I got a few giggles, but no amens. I don't feel like a lot of times that the Holy Ghost is working in me, but I reckon it ain't a whole lot based on feelings if we really get down and look in the Word of God, is it? Not a whole lot, but it sure does feel good when you know that you're one of His. You know, that's how you pretty much know He's working in you. When there's a drive in you to please the Father and not be caught up in a clique. I'm just saying all this to tell you, be careful. Be careful who you hang around with. They can lead you down the wrong path. They really can. Praise the Lord. God's good to us. He's good to His people. I'm telling you, we ought to honor Him. We ought to praise Him. We ought to give Him glory for who He is and what He's done in our life. Listen, I go so many places, so many, and hear people praying for revival. And I've said this before, and you don't see real, true revival taking place. I mean, we have good meetings. I mean, it's good to come in here and shine our light in each other's eyes. Now, come on, that'd be easy on me right there. It's good to come in here and lift up the Lord and preach and sing and glorify the Father. It really is. But true revival that takes over a place, true revival, heartfelt Holy Ghost revival that's soul-stirring, mind-changing, click-busting, religion-busting. I mean, Holy Ghost convicted revival that stirs God's people, that stirs communities. You're not hearing of those. we pray for revival. And like I said, I've heard so many people praying for revival. And it's a good thing to pray for revival, but we find ourselves bragging more about us getting together and praying for revival. Now listen, I'm one of them that looks for motives. We find ourselves more wrapped up and patting each other on the back and say, look what, we meeting and praying. Well, we've been doing this for a year now. Every Saturday night at 7 o'clock, we've been meeting and praying. Boy, we're doing what we're supposed to do to please God. Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with praying, but I'm telling you, praying in your closet and looking for a sovereign, holy God to bless his people, that's where we need to be looking for. You see, where's your motives? I guess maybe the message changed from being locked up in my dog cage. Is that a good title? To what's your motive? Or somewhere in between, maybe. But that's where we need to be for our joy to be there. We got a sovereign God that saved us. We got a sovereign God that's going to keep us. We got a sovereign God that's going to bring us home one of these days. We got a sovereign God that's going to keep us in heaven for eternity where we can glorify him. I'm not telling him how I made him my choice either. Amen. Why? I don't need to. He knows everything. Does he not? Hallelujah. That gets me out of the picture again, don't it? Every time I open that Bible, I get littler and littler. Amen. I mean, not littler. You know what I'm saying. Amen. But I'm telling you, I cut up and go on, have a good time. And I'm saved. I can have a good time. Say amen. I can have a good time in the Lord. And we all should have a good time in the Lord. You can have your good time in your Lord around sinners. You can. Most of you may be scared to death around them, but you ought to be happy around them all so they can see your glow. They can see who you are. You're pleasing God the Father and not the clique. They said, think about it. Think about that just a little bit. But let's rest. Rest in the fact knowing that I'm his.